grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Every single day of the year, our church calendar commemorates one or more of the well-known people in the Bible or in church history. For instance, you all know the Christmas carol, "Good King Wenceslas went out on the Feast of Stephen." Well, the Feast of Stephen, the first martyr, is December 26th. Every day there is a particular saint commemorated. But on the first Sunday in November, we remember every single Christian, known and unknown to us, that are now part of that great crowd that John the Apostle describes in the book of Revelation, chapter 7. All Saints' Day. It was such a major holy day in the 1500s that Luther used the eve of All Saints' Day, October 31st, to nail the 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. That door was the usual community bulletin board, and because it was All Saints' Day, everybody would be passing through those doors on November 1st, 1517, and those who could read Latin would see the 95 Theses. Now, on this day, we especially remember our loved ones who are now with the Lord. They are standing before the throne of God and raising their voices in worship. Now, we don't worship or pray to the saints, but we do honor them greatly. The Bible tells us to do that. Proverbs chapter 10 says, "The memory of the righteous is a blessing." And how many of us are blessed by remembering those whom we have loved that are in heaven right now? What a blessing their memory is. And we always remember that we shouldn't always focus on the saints themselves, but on focus on what they focused on, and that is the worship of Jesus Christ. They are worshiping our Lord in his midst. They're focused on him, and they are worshiping him. Now, the saints in heaven, they're all different. They've come from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. Black and white, red or yellow, rich or poor, educated or not so well educated. They all struggled as you and I with one sin or another. They all knew sorrow and happiness on earth. Some rooted for the Indians, others for the Tigers, and that's okay. They are all different individuals, but the one thing that unites them is their faith. God gave it to them, and he gave our faith to us. And we believe that the Lamb in the midst of the throne was sacrificed for our sins and theirs and grants us eternal life. The saints above are not congratulating themselves for making it to their destination. Instead, they're holding palm branches in their hands, waving them before the throne of God and Jesus Christ the Lamb, singing, "Salvation belongs to our God who sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." Oh, I'm sure they're singing other hymns as well, such as Psalm 73. "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And what a portion God has given to them. They are before God's throne. They serve him constantly in his temple, and God shelters them with his presence. They may have had troubles on earth like Saint Stephen and so many others, but in heaven nothing can harm them. The Lamb in the midst of the throne is their shepherd, guides them to springs of living water, and wipes away every tear from their eyes. A wonderful portion indeed. They are worshiping Jesus, their Savior, who appears as a lamb. Now, this would have been unusual under pagan religions. Pagan deities were depicted as thunder, lightning, and fire. They came in fiery chariots across the heavens. And they did this to frighten people. Pagan deities only came down to earth in human form to seek amusement at our expense. One myth tells of a young woman named Semele. She fell in love with the human manifestation of the god Jupiter. And when he appeared to her as he really was, as the lightning god, she was reduced to a pile of ashes. So much for the pagans, huh? But the saints, they're beholding the real deity, Jesus Christ, who comes as a lamb. The true God came down to earth gentle and lowly, as a servant, not to amaze and impress or amuse himself at our expense. Now, before Jesus came to Bethlehem, yes, God did send prophets, and some of them had a thundering message of law and judgment, but their purpose was to show us how helpless and how sinful we are, and how much we need the Savior who is to come. That Savior would be Jesus Christ. And when that Savior came, he came in the womb of a virgin, so that he could not only be true God, but one of us, our brother, true man. He didn't come to amuse himself at your expense, but to pay the debt that you and I, for our sins, could never, ever begin to repay. Jesus released us from bondage to sin by giving us full and free forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is free, but it's not cheap. Jesus died in sacrifice on the cross, the innocent lamb taking the blame for the guilty. What makes the death of Jesus so profound is that the saints above and you and I, the saints below, we're the ones who put Jesus to death. The nails and the spears that pierced his body were our sinful way of telling God, leave me alone, I don't need you. I don't care to trouble myself with a religion when I have better things to do with my time. Go away, I don't need you. And the first time sinners could get their hands on God when he came in human form, they killed him. But Jesus still loves and forgives us. That's why he came. He came to be the servant of our sin. Our sin pierced his hands, feet, and side. His blood was shed for you and I. His death paid the wages of all of our sins. And even though our sins did that to him, he calls us from the cross to repent, to believe, and to receive his forgiveness. That Lamb of God rose in glory from the grave. And even if at some point in your life you treated him with indifference or even contempt, he doesn't hate you. He doesn't stop calling out to you. He still says to sinners in John chapter 6, whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast out. He clothes all believers with his righteousness. Those are those white robes that the saints are wearing in heaven right now. Their sins have been covered by the Lamb. When God looks at Christians, he doesn't see the uncleanliness of their sins. He only sees the righteousness of his Son. Jesus conquered sin, death, and the power of the devil. He nullifies even our own deaths by promising to raise us and all believers from the grave when he returns in glory. The saints above and the saints below does one communion make. And we are all focused on Jesus Christ and all he has done for us. John sums it up so well in our second lesson for today. See what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And anyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. The saints do well to focus their attention on Jesus Christ, their Savior. so do we. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Please rise. We'll continue with the Nicene Creed.